Okay. Okay.
That should bring us to number three on the agenda. Our case number 98057, Jacqueline Tran, license 5160109. Hey, Mark, come on, please. Can you swear or affirm that the testimony you give today will be truthful and complete? And then state your name.
I'm Jacqueline Tran.
Very nice. That is correct. Ms. Cortland, would you help us understand this?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Begley, members of the board, my name is Helen Bordelot. On December 20th of 2022, I went to Casey Neal and I spoke with Jacqueline Tran, who identified herself as the owner of the establishment. The establishment had an ownership change, and it is now under the name of Jackie's Nails and Spa. She stated that she bought this establishment in June of 2022. However, the prior owner's establishment license was posted in the establishment, along with, as you can see in the photos, the advertising issues that's still being advertised as both Jackie's Nails and Casey Nails. As of January 5th of 2023, Jacqueline Tran did receive her establishment license. Essentially, it was about 6 months that she was working in an unlicensed establishment. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to address them.
Right. How was the inspection
result? It was very clean.
All right, so it's purely a licensing changeover issue?
Yes, sir, licensing and advertising.
Okay. All right, so, I know opening a new business is complicated and whatever, but how did it drag over like this?
So when I got the business over, between me and the landlord and the previous owner, we had some issue with changing ownership. So they told me, like, just running the business under Casa de Nails, because they just renewed the license, and they told me that it would be okay until the expiration date is about to expire, and I can update that under the new name. So with that, I still work under their license, and that's what I understand, because I just literally got the business 6 months, and I have no
license. You currently understand that that's not the case. That when you open a new business, you have to get a new license.
Well, the business was still under Casa de Nails.
Ownership?
Not the ownership. I bought over and we
that was the point I was trying to make. Once the ownership changes,
yes, I understand that. That's what I don't understand at the moment. And Helen educated me when she came to the floor. So the day after, right day after the thing, I could do the paperwork, but the day after, everything was processed and everything was updated.
So all the other licenses were okay. Was there just a salon?
Well, it's the salon license and the advertising.
The advertising, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. And have you cleaned up the advertising so it's all consistent with
everything?
Right. So if we went back out and inspected, we wouldn't find any of the old company's things there?
I'm sorry, what?
If we came back and re-inspected you today,
mm-hmm.
would we find anything about the old company still up on the wall or whatever?
No.
Okay. Does the board have any questions? Any questions?
What are the disciplinary actions that have been?
History.
What's been assessed at this point is an offer of a $500 civil penalty plus board costs and 12-month probationary period. That's what it's been offered.
And was there any?
No prior history.
Oh, what? And it'll be a different. Okay, got it. That's the conclusion. I would like to create a motion for findings of fact, that we move to adopt the findings of fact on the investigative report.
Findings of fact,
inclusion of those. Yeah.
Second.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye. Aye. Yep, you have an opinion? Okay. All right, so we agree this happened.
Motion passes unanimously.
The motion passes unanimously, so we agree this happened. So do we have an order of discipline? Do we feel, a fine is justified in this case? Do we feel?
Maybe.
Do that?
I just put in your letter of concern.
Sorry, there we go.
Well, it was right, when you went in and you helped her, and she went right away and got her license?
Which vaguely members of the board feel like very, it was right shortly after.
Okay.
Within a month, she was licensed. She received her license on January 5th of 2023.
I move that we, issue a disciplinary letter of concern.
Can I?
What are you doing?
Oh, we need to. I would also like to do a motion,
Hang on. Yeah.
Okay, go. So, yes, I made my motion.
Currently, we have a motion for a.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
Goodman was aye as well.
Okay, by majority, then that passes. We're going to issue you a disciplinary letter of concern because it took you too long to get it done. It'll be in your file. We are dismissing the fight. Thank you for being in business and taking care of it. Okay? Right. All right, number four is case number 98104, Elaine Moret.
Yeah.
Barrett? License number 907-00039, instructor in charge.
That's not, okay.
Sounds very official. You swear or affirm that the testimony you provide will be truthful and complete? State your name.
Elaine Moret.
You have a seat?
Yes.
Yes, please, Michelle.
Good morning, Mr. Bagley, members of the board. On September 14th, 2022, I conducted an inspection of the American Leadership Academy. During the school's initial inspection, I found that the cosmetology program had been operating without a license since August 8th, 2022. At that time, Ms. Elaine Moret was the only instructor for the American Leadership Academy's cosmetology program. If you have any questions, I will be happy to address them.
So we, the rest of the inspection was fine? Okay, so this is the paper. All right. So would you mind explaining us?
You bet. So me and another young lady were hired. The other young lady was not licensed yet. She had her second test to take. So they put me as the one in charge. When we got straight set, they had me come in and set up everything because I'd worked for the state board and I'd worked as a curriculum writer and all of that. As we were going through the processes of doing everything, I told my then principal and director, I said, we're not ready to do this. We cannot teach if we don't, if we're not a licensed, establishment. He said, yeah, I also have a license, I have a license to teach other than just, with cosmetology. So I'm an Arizona teaching, teacher as well. So before they scheduled the thing, I says, we're not in compliance with several things within here that we need to have done before you come and have the inspection. And we cannot be teaching anything and students cannot be getting hours until we're licensed. I was told, by Mr. Klon, who is the principal. He said, because you have an Arizona teaching certification, because the kids are not collecting hours, because we're not teaching any hands-on, we're teaching sanitation, life skills, all of that. You're going to be okay, you're covered. And I said, I don't think that's correct because Arizona State Board of Cosmetology, we're a separate entity altogether. Talked with him about that. He says, we have lawyers, I'll talk with them, I'll get back with you. So he came back to me and said, you're going to be okay because we're not counting hours, we're not going to miss that. I said, Jeremy, I still don't feel comfortable with this. He said, Elaine, you know, we've got good lawyers that we've established. You're good because you and Shelby both are not teaching anything other than this. And because it's a, what it is, there's a high school on top, all the CTE programs are underneath. So he says, you're teaching things that they have to learn anyway, what I was told. So So I said, when they got ready to schedule, I said, I'm still not comfortable. There's some things that are not in place that we need to do. Me and the director at this time, Mr. Slade, had a little bit of a disagreement. We wouldn't argue, but I just said, we're not ready. He got a little frustrated with me. I said, okay, do whatever you feel like you need to do. I walked out. They scheduled it without me knowing, which is fine because they're the establishment, not me. On the day that they came, Bishop Lady, and she was very kind, by the way, they called me out to the hall and said, we have good news and bad news, and the school was fine for everything. And then she says, and there's going to be, I guess you call it a lien on my license or a thing on it, I don't know. Immediately after the thing, I went over to Mr. Klomp's office and I said, I am really upset and frustrated with you because I told you this and you promised that because we weren't counting hours, because we were teaching this, that we were covered under this. And there were a lot of other things going on. I'm not going to get to that because I don't want to throw them under the bus because I want the students there to get a good education. At Christmas time, I put in my resignation because there were some other things that were going on there that I felt were not ethical. And I noticed they still hung me down as a head instructor. I left there at break time. I have not been a teacher there because I did not want to get any more things on my license. And I felt there were some things going on there that should not. And I'll leave it at that. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. That was rough.
I think it's because of the new school. They were trying to get it open and they weren't. I don't think that Mr. Klomp or Mr. Slade, either one, understood as many times as we both told them, me and Shelby. It's a different entity. Just because we're under the umbrella of American Leadership Academy, we're also under the umbrella of the State Board Cosmetology Board, which is a completely separate entity, which they were told several times, but that's where we're at.
Okay. Well, dealing with what's in front of us, this is directed towards you.
Yes.
So, does the board have any questions about what she just described to us?
So, he went to inspect the school that was trying to understand this. It was a school that was, or they were trying to open the cosmetology course.
I'm sorry.
And when you inspected, everything looked good, and with the exception of the fact that her license.
There were some other findings, but that was due to a case that's been negotiated.
Okay, but I mean,
her license was active. Her personal instructor license was active. The only issue was that she was instructing at a school that was yet to be.
Oh, licensed. So they were actually instructing.
It was actually open. Yeah.
When you guys came. Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. The whole school itself, like I said, it's a high school. The whole school itself was open.
So we're trying to understand this one. So we're hitting her for instructing at a school that wasn't licensed, basically.
The school itself was licensed. Our entity was not at the time. Gotcha. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Were you teaching cosmetology courses?
We were teaching life skills. We taught life skills and sanitation and skills of communication.
Okay.
Those are the three things that we did teach before.
Right. Which are part of a cosmetology course, but are not exclusive to a cosmetology course.
Right. And that's what we were told. That's why I was told I was protected. But again, I'm just going on with what I was told.
Right. Did you do something else?
Can I explain something real quick? And you probably already know this, but within the CTE program, they get so many credits with our high school for like infection control, although they get like a science credit for that because it is actually falls under that entity. When we teach like chemistry or anything like that, it falls under a science that they get like one credit for science when we teach those things. So. Some of those things like that are also counted as one of their credits in high school as well.
So school is basically essentially going to double dip, let her teach it until they got the license, then go, oh, you already took the class, it goes credit for those hours. Basically, it's what essentially the school is going to try to do.
Can I ask a question too, because I don't understand this. I don't understand why I'm still on there as their head instructor. I don't know.
Yeah, well, because of the time of the inspection.
Oh, okay, I thought you were saying,
This was back.
Okay, I see what you're saying, because I was like, I haven't been there for a minute.
Okay. So, We're not dealing with the institution, we're just dealing with her involved.
Yeah. I move that we just.
All right, we have a motion.
I second it.
The motion is second for dismissal. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
This is Goodman, I didn't hear the motion, I apologize.
Sorry, I move that we dismiss the case.
Goodman supports.
All right, if we may agree, we're dismissing this case. We understand the situation you're calling in. And.
I really appreciate that, thank you.
Thanks for being.
President, have we investigated the school on this though, and should we?
It sounds like there was a case against them that was, has been resolved.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
We'll be looking at this because we need to make sure they're operating as issued.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in, it's to us, it helps us understand. All right, so our next case is case number ISP 082071. Terrence Bryant, license BAR 001847. Terrence Bryant, if you're on the phone. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for attending, Mr. Bryant. I'm going to go ahead and swear you in. So do you swear the testimony, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you'll provide today will be truthful and complete?
I do.
And state your name.
Terrence Bryant.
Thank you. And we're going to go ahead and hear this case, and I'm going to come back to you and ask you questions. Ms. Bordelon, would you explain this case to us?
Thank you, good morning, Mr. Bagley, members of the board, my name is Helen Bordelon. On August 25th of 2022, I conducted a routine inspection of Starting Lineup Barbershop. According to the board's database, it was determined that the establishment was unlicensed at the time, as well as there were two barbers in the shop performing services. One of the gentlemen that was performing services, his license had expired in 2017. And then the other one did not have a license at all. However, the second gentleman, his license did, he did get his license on September 30th, that same year. As of June, or there, as of March 21st of 2023, according to the board's database, the barbershop did come into compliance and they are now licensed through June 30th of 2023. So the best of our knowledge, it was about 7 months that they were working in an unlicensed establishment. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to address.
Just for clarification, I understand what you said about the barbershop itself coming into compliance. Mr. Perryman did not come into compliance or did?
He has not, because at this point his license is expired and he would have to retest.
Okay. And Mr. Castian did?
He received his license about a month later on September. He did get his license.
Okay. All right. Mr. Bryant, would you like to explain this particular group of things that are being said about your salon, your barbershop?
Well, some of the barbers I inherited. It was called BD Barbershop and they shut down 4 days before the end of the month. So I took over. I didn't check their license until the inspection. And then as soon as the inspection came, I gave them 2 weeks to correct it. So Perryman, Darnell Perryman is no longer with my location. Alvin is still with my location. And there was also a Carol Estrada. She has gotten her license straightened also.
Okay. And your license, and your license is current?
Yes, and I'm up to date also.
And then your facility license is also current?
So he bought the business from someone else.
Yeah.
When he took it over. So how long after you took it over did you apply for a license?
Right after, probably within a week or so.
Yeah.
Within a week of the inspection or within the week of purchasing the shot?
Week of purchasing the shot.
Yeah, so I'm a co-owner. My name is Cindy Bryant. If you want to swear me in, then I could probably talk to the board as well.
She's not on the complaint, but she's an owner. Any reason not to?
We have an LLC.
All right. So we have to go through a little dance move with you about whether or not we can accept your testimony since you have an LLC.
All right. Mr. and Mrs. Bryant, I assume?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. So I will need you to attest to the following statement that you. So hang on a second. I'm sorry. Is this a barber license or an individual license that we're discussing?
Barber license.
It's an establishment license. Okay. What is the name of your LLC?
It's Terrence and Cindy Bryant LLC.
I think we need to pause for just a moment to ensure that we're legally sound on this because what is their LLC a part of their license?
There's nothing on there as an associate.
So like EBA starting lineup barbershop.
Say it again.
The LLC is like a DBA starting lineup barbershop.
As a DBA, but you wouldn't file under the DBA.
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
Would you file with the corporation? We're sliding sideways here. The state of Arizona requires that corporations be represented. And then we have to be aware that you're a corporation and deal with the corporation in a particular manner. Yeah. So we're trying to sort that out right now.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the board, I think we're going to need to obtain additional information from these individuals. My recommendation to the board would be that we continue the case another month so that we can understand the ownership
Are we going to contact them and so we're going to go out?
Mr. Brando, do you have some?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Bruce Bueno. We do have on their original application, it's Terrence and Cindy Bryant LLC.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay.
We may be okay. So,
okay.
We feel like their corporation is.
So I think we need to continue this renotice them for next month.
Mr. and Mrs. Bryant, we have some paperwork things we have to do in a particular manner. And while you were correct that you did file with your name or your corporation, the notice that came out to you was not done to your corporation. So we have to clean that up. So we're going to continue this case for a month and look at it again in May. In the meantime, you'll be contacted so we can straighten this paperwork out. Is that okay with you? Do you understand?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. But the law is very specific on what we can and can't do.
I understand.
Right, everybody in agreement on that? All right. So then, move that case number INSB 082071 be continued next month for the opportunity to gather data and to make sure we're correctly aligned.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So we're going to continue this for a month. We'll contact you and we'll hopefully straighten all this out next month.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. All right. This adventure is case number Northstock. Next adventure is 7863, Hair by Jace, SCOS 29402, Jace Hayberger, license 11601484. Is Jace Hayberger present? If you're online, star six. All right. So I hearing no response, I move the case number 97863 be moved to a formal hearing, or the alternative, we accept the signed consent agreement previously offered by the board as resolution 23.
I second. Group on board.
Motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that passes unanimously. All right, next case, number 8, 97971, Lux B Salon, SCOS 30254, Brooke B Hogan, owner. Brooke B Hogan, are you present? Are you on the phone? Star 6. I move the case number 97971 be moved to a formal hearing on the alternative, except signed consent agreement previously offered by the board as resolution for the case.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Unanimously, we move that forward. Is the motion in the last case is case. Nope, that was confusing.
Yep.
All right. All right, well, all that fun's over, and let's move to the last section, which is always the very best part of every single meeting, which is the deputy director's report.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, and I feel under pressure to get you out of here as fast as possible, so maybe this is going to be a good way to have this moving us forward, right? So,
but if you could take like a little bit of that time, because Gary and I have a bet about what's going to come.
Oh, okay.
I prefer you to.
So, well, actually, in all honesty, I do have a relatively short board report for all of you this morning, this month. I apologize. Feel free to ask me any questions that you might have throughout the presentation. So, Mr. Chair, members of the board, actually, we also have a bet because Rosa thinks I like to talk about myself. So, our March financial update is as follows. It's also the end of our third quarter. I think what's two points of interest for, or three items, I guess, for you, place the full copies of a financial report in the shared drive for you. But as you will see, our revenue for the quarter did outpace our expenses. That is as expected because our renewals increase as the years go on. So we start the year slow, we end it strong. So we did actually increase our barbering and cosmetology fund balance by $70,000 or so, but we had been decreasing throughout the entire year. So we're kind of switching it back over this year. Through March, or three full quarters, as I mentioned a moment ago, we are exactly 75% expended of our appropriation. So that means if we stay on the same trajectory, we're going to come through right on target this year, where I understand historically we are continuing to, well, obviously we continue to increase that fund balance, which is not, certainly not my leadership intention of this organization. Next up, I wanted to provide that March examination information. We did have 430 candidates test through the written practical examination. There was an 80% average passing rate. You can see all of the individual numbers for you on each of the written practicals on that table for you. Of interest, 861 candidates have scheduled a date to test from April 1st to September 16th. 461 of those are written practicals and 400 of those are theory. Mr. Chair, Member Mayfield, did you have a question?
Yes, Mr. Begley, how are we backlogged at all in these testing, or how?
So super, Mr. Chair, Member Mayfield, for the theory tests, we are not backlogged. As individuals can go test as they see fit. I did share an email with all of you as a result of public comment last month. There is about a 2.5 month backlog on the written, or not, excuse me, not the written, but the hands-on practical examinations, which actually is instructors and hairstylists, to be clear. Which is a good segue into the final update that I wanted to provide you. Quick follow-up on our remaining hands-on practical examinations for instructors and hairstylists. We did have Kelly and I had an initial conversation with NIC earlier this month to begin understanding the process from making the transition for these remaining test types. We had a great conversation, which resulted in some additional action needed from us, but due to board prep, I have not been able to get to that yet. And the short of the long of it is I need to prepare a proposal to NIC to draft written practical examinations for instructors and hairstylists. I do actually would like to, when we get into August, September timeframe and we see a legislative subcommittee, I do want to discuss the practical examinations as part of the instructor statute and get the board consensus on what that looks like moving into the future. I think there's some questions about the need for a practical examination for instructors, which we'll get to all of that when that time comes. Broadly speaking, I'm told by NIC that Arizona is actually on the leading edge of written practical examinations for barbering and cosmetology industry, and therefore there is a belief that the NIC board will approve our request. They just want to understand their return on investment for developing it on our behalf. All of that to say, it's on my list for next week. I will get that submitted to NIC and their executive director, Ms. Collard. Any questions on that? Okay, no one, and I answered your question. Okay, excellent. I am adjusting my reports to all of you to go to more of a stoplight chart function about where we are at in the issuance of all of our licensing functions. So as you will see, we are overwhelmingly green. You'll see our status of where we are at as of Wednesday this week versus what the target is. I will be honest with you, when I sat here 1 year ago this month, I thought that these targets were going to be really audacious, and I really want to compliment the team as a whole for really marching to what I believed to be an audacious goal. And now we've are having some serious conversations about those goals really are audacious, but we don't want to adjust those because we want to ensure that we don't burn our staff out to these one-day turnarounds. Obviously, we are continuing to struggle with our establishment licensing. Just to clarify, this establishment licensing that you see on this slide is our current applications that have been coming in this year. We're sitting at about March 10th.
This also reflects the software issue we have.
Yeah, and this does reflect that. It's a process issue, which we are this close to having solved, but we still have all of these quote-unquote backlogged applications, 29 days worth of backlogged applications that we are working on. We do have it designed, and we are, like I said, this close to launching the new consolidated payment application process so that we don't continue to struggle with all of these items. One of the big hangups that has occurred in the last 4 to 6 weeks is the Secretary of State registration they are extremely backlogged. But we have learned that they offer an expedited service for like $7 or $8. And so we're actually started communicating that with our applicants, and they're doing it. And we're a month ago, to be completely transparent, we were in like the 39-day range. So we have made progress this month, but it's clearly not where I want it to be. And to be very completely transparent, 14 days is not possible with the existing process.
Yeah.
But I've not changed that target. It's going to continue to be 14 days. I do believe 14 days with the new process, consolidated payment application process, that we can get to 14 days. Honestly, I think we can get there very quickly with that new payment process. I was a part of testing of it 2 weeks ago. I came into this organization and was very shocked and dismayed that we require social security numbers for our applications. I didn't find it in our statute, so we're like, we're going to stop asking for it. Well, then we found out it's actually a part of a different set of state statutes that require us to collect the social security number. So we had to, that delay is because the payment portal developer that's working on this is having to figure out the encryption side of social security numbers to ensure that our applicants' social security numbers remain safe. I'm hoping that we are within days, frankly, maybe next week, that we get that launched.
Mr. Chair, Frank, and this will also do, sorry, I, being sick last 2 months, I was like in a fever state half the time. We did discuss removing trademark requirements because it's not required in statute, right?
Correct.
So that will also make an adjustment.
Right, but, Mr. Chair, Ms. Guzman Glover, yes, we have, the board did come to consensus last month on removing the trademark requirement from the rules, but that's probably 6 months out at this point.
Definitely a while out, but I.
Yes, I do think that will help tremendously.
Thank you.
To answer that. So that leads me to that 2022 backlog that we identified in early February, I believe it was. I'm very excited to share the progress that we have made on this. I want to be clear that every single one of the 628 have received an initial communication from this organization. And that happened actually prior to the last board meeting, if I remember correctly, I reported that to all of you. And you can see on the no application side of things, meaning they paid us but never did completed the actual application process because it was a two-lane item. We have actually issued 75, we have 63 pending, 56 of those have canceled, and 6 of them requested a refund, meaning there's 264 outstanding. We are, I'm going to pick on him because he happens to be sitting at the table. Mr. Griffin actually is the person that is leading this project for us. He took this on as an additional duty. He is doing absolutely outstanding work. He provides quality customer service, a very immediate turnaround. And I'm very excited to share the percentage because I didn't put on the slide, but the overall project at this point was 32% complete. So we continue to make progress. The other thing, which I shared with him yesterday, and he was like, I could literally see him exhale while he was sitting at his desk, is I don't believe this will ever be 100%. This is not something that will be 100% completion because there will be people that just do not respond to us. So in my head, I'm thinking if we get to 80%, that would be incredible, but we continue to make progress. We obviously have tracking mechanisms. Next month, we will have a better idea of that pending application item, where how many of those we've issued and some of those. I came up with that this chart late on Wednesday, so Board Darnay was not prepared with data for me on that yet. So we will have that for you next month. Customer care. Again, I've also transitioned to this because I believe that we hear from respondents in cases that they try to contact us and that they wait on hold for a really long time or it takes a really long time. We want to be very transparent in saying these are average numbers for the month of March. So we did receive 3,656 phone calls into our call center for the entirety of March. And we had an average wait response time of 14 minutes and 19 seconds. Our target on that is 8 minutes. I'm actually very happy to report that the first 2 weeks of April, we are at a 6.5 minute wait time on average through the first 2 weeks. So we've continued to make great progress. I will be also very transparent. This was a really interesting month as an organization. We had a lot of illness. We had a lot of people call out. We had vacations. It was just one of those weird months. So it doesn't surprise me that we saw 14 minutes, but I want to also exude my pride for the customer care team because a year ago that was in the 40 minute mark range. So huge progress. Still not quite to where we want it to be, but we're continuing to take action to get there. I also want to clarify that the way the calendar fell for the month of March, 5 full business weeks on here. So that number of calls is quite high. Another interesting stat is we're taking about 150 calls a day when you do an average on that. One of the things that really gets Kelly and I's heads going is like, where are the trends? Like, where are we at in, do we get more calls on Mondays? Is it Fridays? Where are we at? Can we adjust staffing? Some of those types of things.
Are you also, sorry, excuse me, Mr. Chair, are you also like watching trends of what people are calling
yes.
now? Okay.
We have daily call logs that the team calls. Awesome. Right now, I can tell you a significant majority of the calls is when people need to print their license, it comes up as a pop-up block, and many people's computers are blocking that. We actually have a project in with the IT provider to fix that. So we are hopefully by June 1st-ish, you know how IT is, very soft deadlines in the IT world, which makes me crazy. We should have that fixed where it's at, their license is attached to an email that expires in 7 days. So we still continue to have some of those items, but it's moving. Also, one of the things that I'm really excited to share about is the email inbox, because we also receive email inquiries. We have a contact us function on the webpage. For the month of March, we received 497. We have a less than 24 business hour response time on those at this point. Our communications administrator has graciously taken that on for now as an additional duty, just because the call center numbers continue to be high, and we will adjust those staffing as we need to. Legislative update. What a legislative session has been. I really hoped and frankly prayed for a gentle legislative session, and we did not get that. We have four bills that have passed out of the legislature and have officially been signed by the governor as of this week. House Bill 2199 is the cosmetology instructor bill. It entitles a person with at least 1 year of instructor experience in another state or country and is who is licensed as a cosmetologist, esthetician, nail tech, or hairstylist in that other state or country to license as a reciprocity instructor in Arizona. The requirement is not currently there, so we have so it clarifies a couple of items for us. That bill also allows a student enrolled in a school for the purpose of becoming an instructor to be a paid employee. I should have started by saying that I have placed the chaptered bill language as well as fact sheets in the Google Drive for all of you, so you can see whatever you choose to see on that. House Bill 2525 originally included language around an unlicensed worker program. That language, to be clear, was stripped out of the bill. That is not there anymore. We continue to receive calls about that into the office. Oh my gosh, what does that mean for the industry? However, that bill number still exists, and it is an apprenticeship expansion. And it will allow a person in lieu of prescribed education requirements to qualify for an esthetician, nail tech, or hairstyling license by participating in a DES-approved, U.S. Department of Labor-approved apprenticeship program that includes infection protection and law review instruction. That's going to be a fairly easy one for us to implement. We have the basic language, the shell of the language in the rules already for cosmetologists and barbers. So it's just an expansion to the other license types. The next one is House Bill 2550, Eyelash Technicians. This bill establishes an eyelash technician registration under the regulatory authority of this board, and it outlines eyelash technician registration and regulatory requirements. Finally, House Bill 2542 is the Cosmetology Licensure Compact. There was a delayed effective date in this bill of July 1st of 2024. And it adopts the Cosmetology Licensure Compact to allow cosmetologists to attain a multi-state license for the practice of cosmetology in another compact member state. This one, although great, is a little bit scary because it's going to require a lot of work of this organization. I was very thankful for the language of a delayed start date of July 1st of 2024, because that allows us to do a number of things internally before we have to start working on it. The other interesting piece of this is that it requires 7 states to pass the legislation before the work begins. Arizona was the 2nd state.
Okay.
Kentucky was the 1st. And there are Texas, I can't remember all of them. I remember Texas, California, Colorado, and then two other states that are currently have language introduced, but it is still in the legislative process. So yes, Arizona becomes effective next July, but we don't know what it means for Arizona. I have had a very deep conversation with our OSPB analyst, Tyler, about the budgetary impact this would have to us as an organization. I got him to agree to a small dollar amount that they would propose internally for budget negotiations to support the additional work that it will take for this organization. And of course, that will come directly from the fund. It doesn't impact licensing fees. It's just we need, basically he and I settled on a $25,000 increase to our appropriation for that purpose. There were two more bills that impact us from a business standpoint, but there, I shared with all of you early on in this process. I understood the legislative process from the Schoolhouse Rock piece. And I can tell you, having been a part of it this year, it's really nothing like that. It's much more complex. What I can tell from these is that they actually, one of them died in the Senate and the other one appears to have been transmitted to the House, but died in the House on appearance. But I'm also told that nothing is dead until the legislative session is over. Both of those are budgetary items, so they could get wrapped up into budget negotiations. All of that, any questions on legislation?
Yes. Mr. Bagley, the cosmetology licensure interstate compact, that just means that once these seven states, then they can kind of, the reciprocity will be easier. Yes?
The reciprocity actually is not a part of the equation because reciprocity requires an application in the new state. If you have if you have a multi-state license, you don't even apply in the other state. You just go to that state with Arizona's license and you can work there so long as they are a compact state.
Okay. And then eyelash technician, that means you now have to have a license to be an eyelash technician?
Correct. It's a certification of no more than 30 hours.
Okay. You do have to have that. And then the apprenticeship expansion, but it's not licensed by us, or they would do the apprenticeship?
So the school, the apprenticeship program, the schooling happens. It's a hands-on learning program. It requires additional hours of schooling through that Department of Labor DES programming. And if DES issues the kind of certification of graduation, they submit it to us and we license them. But there are certain requirements. We don't administer the programming. DES does.
But we would take over once they're through that program.
Correct. We would issue them a license if they successfully complete the program.
And that's passed.
Yep. I mean, to close out my legislative, the only bill that has an effective date at this time is the Interstate Compact, and that effective date is July 1st of 2024. The other three are the general effective date, which has not yet been determined because the legislative session is ongoing. Generally speaking, the general effective date is 90 days after legislative session ends. The last few years, 3 or 4 years, that's been the end of September. So we still have a little bit of time on these things. On the one that's going to be the biggest lift for us as a staff is going to be the eyelash technician. And we're actually, Gary made an introduction to me of somebody that's been a part of that work in a number of ways. I have an email from her. I have not scheduled the meeting yet, but we're going to meet with her next week. We're going to take a stab at some initial rules around that. We'll present it to the board. Good news is it can be embedded as part of the larger rural work that we're doing right now. So maybe the delay in our rules was a good thing after all. Ms. Guzman-Glover, did you end up having a question or no?
I think I answered
that. Okay, I love it.
Yeah, I just think that there were some amendments being discussed to the eyelash one because at one point in time it was saying the cosmetologist would have to get in addition to, they do not have to do
that. They're grandfathered, yep.
As a cosmetologist. Is that going forward too? Like anybody that becomes a cosmetologist?
Yes, it's still a part of that licensure. But if Ms. Guzman-Glover wants to just do eyelashes for weddings on the weekend, you can do a 30-hour program and be registered by this board.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Okay. All right. Finally, here's our next six meetings. I will see all of you on May 19th, 2023 at 9 a.m. I believe we're actually going to be back in Boardroom A for that month. They're still, the remodel is complete, but we don't have, we're lacking some equipment in there still, so we're still going to be doing the kind of conference phone, Google Meets on a multitude of computers in the room just to make it all happen for us. I understand that there are actually two other board meetings in the building that day as well. So it's going to be kind of busy in here just to give everybody fair warning coming into the building. Any additional questions for me this month?
I'm trying to find 10 additional questions to take up an additional 10 minutes so I can meet Gary, but I don't have the answer.
We do still, so hearing no questions, Mr. Chair, there is one last item on the agenda for public comment. I'll turn it back over to you.
Do they have to register with this or just kind of come in as it is?
That's the language.
All right.
I'm so sorry. Can I ask you a really quick question?
That was public comment. Are you making a public comment?
I just had a super quick, just a question that out of state, the first year, the instructor bill, what was that number? I'm so sorry.
If you would like to contact me after the meeting directly, I'll be happy to provide that to you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Frank.
What was your name?
Frank McGowan.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So those mission addressed the board did not need to request permission in advance. However, board may limit these people speaking apparently under 30 seconds during this time so I can win my bet. Well, that's all it says. So, do we have anything to say?
I'm going to be presenting the eyelash bill and the 2025
If you would like to speak after the meeting, if you like, we can.
My question was, have we talked about simplifying the application process for school renewal yet so we can pay on credit cards on the third back instead of having to request a check and go through the process that the state department requires us to do?
I can also address that question after the meeting.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is a great idea.
Thank you.
All right, does anyone else have something you'd like to speak about? I'm still in. Oh. All right, so do you have a motion?
Motion to adjourn the meeting.
Yeah. I'll second that.
All right, motion. Second, everybody agrees, say aye.
Aye.
Anybody can just say quit, otherwise. So we've got that unanimously.
And you won.
I just barely. We'll go again next.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.